gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What we were looking at is class 3 misdemeanor, which hardly seems serious enough given the circumstances.
Oh, that was so 5 minutes ago. Now we're talking felonies, balloon people, and primarily because Mama went to New York and got bumped off television for you, balloon people.
Yeah. That's a felony right there.
I flew all the way to New York and got sick as a dog to get bumped off television by balloon family. Oh, why I never. John Fugelsang is right. We were all united as a country for once in fearing for this little boy, and now we're united in hating these parents with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns.
I even hate the kids. Have you seen that video that they did?
Oh, did you hear what the little, what's his name? Falcon. Did you hear when he was on Wife Swap? Because, you know, they encourage the kids to swear at home, which I think is always delightful in a six-year-old.
Yeah.
But when the new wife apparently was setting the rules for the new family, he said, this new rule.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be one of the cute moments.
That's
on Wife
hilarious.
Swap.
That's adorable.
Oh, that's so cute. Anyway, wow. That is quite a story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All the details. Wow. See, now I agree with Ariana, who was on Ed Schultz. She made it on I Got Bumped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we are talking about this, Ed. The boy is fine now. Why are we even still talking about it?
Did I not say on Friday?
Yeah, your nose was good on this one. You're like, this does not smell right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the other...
So I was right.
Tommy in Columbus with the other big... where is the breaking news? The other big breaking news hoax story of the weekend. The case of Stephanie Miller's sickness has been determined to be a hoax and a publicity stunt. An MSNBC spokesperson said Friday. The incident promoted widespread fears, including the CDC and the workers at MSNBC. It ended when Ms. Miller, 64...
Well...
Learned that she would not be allowed to play doctor and nurse with Keith Olbermann, hopped up on box wine and codeine. Miller was found wandering around Central Park West with a tranquilizer gun, handcuffs, Astroglide, and a picture of Mr. Olbermann.
Oh.
Miller's producer, Chris Lavort, was reported to have been seen screaming into a cell phone, Stephanie Louise Miller, what were you thinking? That was the... All right, it was a hoax. Sue in Rockville noticed, hey, Steph, so you go to New York City and bring all your germs, and by Friday, Keith Olbermann is too sick to do his show.
Huh.
What did you two do, you slut? Were you licking his chair again?
Computer says yes.
Sue in Rockville.
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
It was all part of my plot. Did you notice Rachel Maddow was sick? Keith Olbermann sick?
Were you?
See, if I could have showed up, I was supposed to be on Wednesday's show. I was, unfortunately... It backfired on me. I got too sick to go and get Allison Stewart sick, who was Rachel's fill-in. Then all of the hosts and guest hosts would have been sick on MSNBC, leaving only one person left to host a show.
Stephanie Miller said you were too sick to do that.
Whose chair weren't you licking at MSNBC?
I didn't leave many. Leave many unlicked.
No chair left unlicked.
Is Dan Abrams still
there? It's the Stephanie Miller show.
Yeah, I think he is.
Is he?
I didn't see him, but
okay.
I believe he is.
Huh.
All right, Dr. Mark in Minneapolis has diagnosed Mama's sickness from last week. Whew, that was a rough listen, wasn't it?
You still don't sound like you're 100%.
No.
You got a little bit of huskiness going on.
I'm almost as good as new, though. Lots of box wine and French kissing with my dogs over the weekend. I'm almost as good as new.
I think you're up to at least sounding like Elizabeth Ashley now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Mark writes, Steph, I think I know what you have. Let's review the system symptoms. Raspy throat, check. Irritation, check. Chills and shakes, check. Madam, you must have the Aquitaine. See, I have the Aquitaine.
I was going to say Ashley Simpson, but...
All right. Kim in Seattle writes, Steph, talking about the balloon boy getting in trouble reminded me of an incident with my son. Ben was 4 and was messing around under a bar stool at my mom's house. It fell over on him and gave him a black eye. Ben was going to a birthday party the next day. I told him if anyone asked to make sure he told them how he got the black eye. He got out of the car at the party and yelled back at me as he ran toward the kids and the other mothers. Mom, what was I supposed to say about my black eye? I can still see the horrified faces. Kim, I'm not a child beater in Seattle. Sure, Kim, if that's your story. Sure. He told Grandma he fell off the swing. I'm sure that's true.
You fell off the bar stool.
What was he doing on a bar stool?
He was. You brought a baby to a bar.
Look at you. You have a baby. In a bar.
Wow, wow, wow. All right, let's get to the fun facts of the balloon boy. Wow, this is what a country we're living in, huh? Everything is for reality television these days.
Yeah.
So it was a hoax concocted to land a reality television show.
Yeah.
Everyone in America either has a reality show or they're trying to get one.
Mm-hmm.
By shutting down Denver Airport in this case.
That's a little too much reality right there. I think without that.
So you were saying over the weekend this is upgraded. The boys' parents will likely face felony charges.
Yeah,
now,
felony
that was Friday,
child endangerment charges.
The whole misdemeanor thing. Very 5 minutes ago.
And contributing to the delinquency of a minor. A whole slew of stuff.
Oh, heavens.
All that scratch they had to shell out for the helicopters and shutting down the airport and Walmart.
You know how people have a notoriously bad sense of humor about that.
My bad. Oops.
The stunt, 2 weeks in the planning, was a marketing ploy by Richard and Mayumi Heen, who met at acting school in Hollywood.
Jim, you've been
in acting school in Hollywood. Have you ever hatched a plot with someone during while you're rehearsing a scene?
I know.
Hey, if this doesn't work out, I have an idea.
Let's put a kid in a balloon.
Let's do something involving the FAA that'll get us a show.
It's probably one of those fly-by-night acting schools, too.
Yeah.
The Heens have reportedly been working on a reality TV deal.
For $1 million.
Here in Los Angeles. Investigators are examining the possibility of other... This is weird. Other conspirators, including the possibility that even some of the media outlets may have had some knowledge about this. Documents show a media outlet has agreed to pay money to the Heens with regards to the balloon incident. He didn't name the media outlet, get this, but said it was a show that blurs the line between entertainment and news. Fox News, what the fox? It's got to be... got to be somebody... I'm just guessing.
Maybe something like Entertainment Tonight or something like that.
All right.
I think it's a Glenn Beck show.
Well, like the White House this weekend. Fox News, it's not news, it's something.
Nazi plot of some kind.
Mm-hmm. So, get this. So, Falcon... He may not even have been... Did they just rename him just for this?
I know.
Is that like just his media name, like a gladiator, like Zap or Pow or
no.
Falcon or...
Pigeon. No. It's Falcon! That's it. Eagle's too obvious.
It does sound like a gladiator name, doesn't it? American Gladiators?
Yeah, it does.
I think there might have been a Falcon. Google it.
Okay. Right away, Ms. Miller.
He may not even have been hiding in the garage. That was the
story. Might have been in the park down the street.
Oh, wow.
Swinging on a swing set.
So even that part of the story is fake.
Nothing was true. The stunt, as we know, temporarily shut down Denver International Airport. Not easy to do.
No.
I mean, you could shut down a normal airport, but a hub?
We've been through Denver.
Yeah. How many people missed their connecting flights?
Yeah. Oy.
And caused the National Guard to scramble two helicopters in an attempt to rescue the boy.
Great.
Because that's what I was thinking. All this whole thing was on TV. I'm like, get a helicopter up there now. Lower somebody. What about the children? See, I sound more sick when my maternal instinct kicks in. What about the children?
You have no maternal instinct whatsoever.
I wanted to save Balloon Boy on Friday, that little bastard. And it just reinforced all my good decisions about not having children. For a second on Friday, I ovulated. I'm like, somebody save him. Oh, the boy. Yeah, and then it was just all back to bitter party of one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get bumped off TV, and it turns out to be a hoax.
I had my doubts about the thing from the beginning. It's a kid in the balloon, really?
It kept tipping, and you're like, what? Could he really be still in there? And then when he wasn't there, you're like, oh, my God, he fell out. He's dead. Okay, I'm not done with fun facts.
Oh, all right.
the sheriff's saying charges probably will be conspiracy, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, making a false report to authorities, and attempting to influence a public servant. Don't know what that part is. Federal charges are also possible. Richard Heen told the Associated Press he was seeking counsel. I think that's probably why. lot.
Yeah. In fact,
many kinds of counsel.
Counsel has been making the rounds on the morning shows this morning.
What does counsel have to say?
Counsel sounded a little bit scrambly and tap dancy.
The thing is, according to the statute here, I have in my back pocket.
There's nothing specific about saying your kid's in a shiny balloon in the cage.
Yeah.
Just saying. There's no law specifically.
Show me the law that says you can't have a shiny balloon with a kid in it. You can you?
Heen said this weekend, this thing has become so convoluted as tears welled in his eyes. Yeah, I wonder how that happened. It's weird. The couple's attorney issued a statement later Sunday saying the Heens were willing to voluntarily turn themselves in to face charges. Oh, well, that's big of them. So the sheriff said all three of the sons knew about the hoax, but likely won't face charges because of their ages.
Right.
Records show that police have responded to the house. Did you hear this part? At least twice in the past year, including a possible domestic violence incident in February.
I have heard that part.
No charges were filed. They tried Saturday to persuade Mayumi to go to a safe house, but she declined. The sheriff said he apparently has quite a temper. Which is where you can see why the kid would hide in the attic or...
Or a park.
Or might barf when caught in a lie because his father had told him... You told me to say it was for the...
Daddy, lies make me barf.
Lies make baby Jesus cry, and children barf on Meredith Vieira. I think those are the two things we've learned from this incident.
I'm wondering if the dad fed the kids some Ipecac.
No way. Oh, see, now you're just completely mistrustful.
I really wouldn't put it past
him. The aptly named Ipecac.
Yeah. Because you have Ipecac and it makes you barf a time later.
So that there wouldn't be any follow-up questions? Yeah, because once there's vomit on your shoe, you're unlikely to really care.
To garner more sympathy? I really wouldn't put it past this guy.
Yeah. Surprise me.
The sheriff said that watching the Today Show was the aha moment.
Yeah.
I told you, Jim, that's the Columbo moment.
No, I thought it was Larry King Live. Larry King Live when he said that they were going to do it for the show.
Is that the first time he said it?
Yes, yeah.
Oh. Way to go, Larry. Larry.
It was Wolf Blitzer filling in
whatever.
For Larry.
Whatever. The Larry
boy
King,
for the hour.
The Larry King Show broke this story wide open. How did Wolf react? With his usual journalistic acumen?
When he said that, he just kind of went on to the next question, and then I guess Twitter...
Because he's used to Jack Cafferty saying outrageous things that he ignores.
Well, yeah, he ignored it, and then I guess Twitter just exploded saying, follow up on that, follow up on that. So his producers, I guess, fed him, the follow-up questions in his ear.
We'll have to leave it there. Wolf, something else.
And so that's when the father started to get agitated, saying he didn't like that line of questioning.
That didn't pique Wolf's journalistic...
The man on the grassy knoll was, we'll have to leave it there.
I don't
what?
Think...
Wait a minute!
Hey! I don't think...
Turn it for the show! What?
I don't think Wolf is used to doing this kind of story. He's used to doing political and Pentagon stories and stuff like that.
These stories make me very uncomfortable. I think I'm going to explode.
Anything involving controversy. Jack Cafferty is human controversy. Why do they make me talk to him?
Well, this story's a little more human interest than what he's used to.
That's why they ought to have better journalists fill in for Larry King.
Stephanie Miller.
What, Jim? That's crazy. Perhaps, but I would have asked if I would have gone, really? See, I would have brought my box with me and I would have said, wait a minute now. I just had a Scooby-Doo moment. Explain the show.
I can't think of anything less pathetic than a wannabe reality star.
Reality star is pathetic enough. Yeah. But you're not even pathetic enough to actually get a reality show. Yeah. Then you're pathetic. All right. 20 minutes after the hour. There's important stuff going on in the world.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. We've got some important healthcare stuff to discuss. Come on. We've got that coming up, and Rude Pundit, who is particularly rude this week and hilarious as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller.
All right, everybody. Rude Pundit coming up in just a few minutes. We also have Eric Bollard. He will be co-hosting a rollicking edition of Right Wing World next hour from Media Matters for America. And Representative Senator Joe... Oh, I'm sorry, I always make that mistake. Representative Joe Sestak.
Yes, he is going to be having a major announcement on this very show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how interesting.
Does he have a balloon in his backyard?
He does not. Oh. But it's a major announcement about his campaign.
The Stephanie Miller Show, the second best place to do a publicity stunt. If you don't happen to have a giant shiny balloon
right.
in your backyard. And you don't want to spend several years in prison. The next stop.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, by the way. Ooh, it's newly refreshed. There's new pictures and magical things up there and Twitter and all sorts of things.
How did they get boobs in that picture of you?
Oh, shut up.
Seriously, you're built like a surfboard. But in this picture, you have boobs.
Listen, there's magic things that happen. There's push-ups, and there's underwires, and there's lighting.
And there's Photoshop.
Yes.
She's the Ralph Lauren model in real life. You have to Photoshop her to make her look
less. They just squeeze me a different way.
And your Twitter feed is also up on the homepage of StephanieMiller.com.
Tweet me, won't you?
Yes.
Thank you for all the get well wishes on my Twitter feed, by the way. Somebody said thank you for having Kathleen Turner fill in last week.
Yes.
A lot of sound alike suggestions. All right. Can I have my deliverance music, please? Did you hear about this guy? It's the racist Republican of the day, Jim, on the heels of the whole.
Another one?
This isn't the one in Louisiana, is it?
No, which one's that?
The one that refused to marry the black guy and white girl? No.
Yeah, because he was thinking of the children.
Uh-huh. There's another one now?
Yes. A video featuring a Kansas legislator criticizing President Obama's policies while wearing a hat describing a possum as the other dark meat was removed Thursday from the YouTube. Republican Representative Bill Otto said he didn't remove the video titled Redneck Rap. And didn't know why it had been taken down. In the video, he pauses after criticizing Obama and his policies and repeats the saying on the cap, the other dark meat, and adds, a little greasy, but hey. It's a reference to rednecks, he said.
Uh-huh.
What? The flap comes less than 2 months after. You remember that other Kansas Republican, Lynn Jenkins. She remarked that the Republican Party was still looking for a great white hope. She later said she was not referring to Obama and didn't know of the phrase's past link to pre-civil rights era racism.
What does she think it meant?
Never heard that before. Mm-hmm. By the way, there'd been another incident with Representative Otto. Would you like to hear about that one?
Sure.
It was another misunderstanding, Jim. You know how these things happen.
Yeah.
He encountered Patrick Woods, a legislative liaison who happens to be black, in case you haven't noticed. He encountered Otto in March while walking between the State House and an office building, and Otto said he had confused Woods with Rod Brimby, the State Secretary of Health and Environment, who's also black.
Uh-huh.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Woods said Otto said to him, I almost shot you. You look a lot like Secretary Brimby. Both Woods and Brimby, as I mentioned, are all black.
Hilarious.
But Brimby is decades older and has a beard, while Woods does not. Woods said he took the remark as a terribly inappropriate joke. Otto said he confused.
I almost shot you. Hey.
Otto said he confused Woods with Brimby only from a distance,
and only because
he didn't know Woods very well. You see, and not because they all look alike. Not because of that at all.
No,
I thought you was the elder feather. I almost shot you.
Get it? Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour, we will talk about all things rude with the Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If it would help the show, I would be willing to go country. It's a totally legitimate career move. The best way for a lady to get heat in this industry is to either record a country album or have a lesbian relationship.
Or both.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere, everybody, to join the party. Speaking of parties.
What?
You know, I was in New York last week, and
yes.
You know when it's a party? When the Rude Pundit walks into the room, that's right.
Lee Bobbitt, the Rude Pundit.
Yes.
Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. Holy crap, you sound sexy.
See, I just sound phlegmy and gross to myself. I just hacked up in the waste basket here.
Oh, so really?
You're lucky you're 3,000 miles away this time.
Well, I was locked in a small room with you for an hour, and I don't have any diseases I can see, so.
I'm tricky like that. So, among other, we'll get to the disgusting things that are done to the Michelle Bachmann doll in your column this week. However, let's talk about healthcare for a minute, because obviously we're at a critical point. But you talk about that survey that the health insurance industry put out, saying you basically, holy cow, the health insurance industry is going to screw you if this healthcare reform passes.
And the thing that the fascinating thing about it that hasn't gotten as much attention is how much they're going to screw us if it doesn't pass, which they admit to in the report.
Yes. Yes. I love this. You actually write, in other words, left to their own devices, the nation's health insurers admit they're going to rape us. They want to make sure we understand that if reform passes, they'll also our faces with their filthy. Which is true. It's they don't.
Many words.
Yes.
But, yeah.
But exactly. You write, by AHIP own admission, they have to be stopped or they'll kill again. The report is a taunt, a thug-level threat, terrorism, if you will. That's exactly true, and I think that Democratic lawmakers have reacted that way, haven't they, and the president this weekend.
Yeah, I love it. I love them saying, that's a nice exemption to antitrust laws there. It'd be a shame if you lost it.
I know. Well, you write, you put the Godfather analogy in there. You said the horse's head of a report delivered by the American health insurance providers to the beds of sleeping senators is quite a document.
I don't know if you've read the whole thing, but and believe me, there's no reason to, but it's just this unending stream of here's how badly we're going to beat you down if you pass this, and then there's these little footnotes in there that say, oh, by the way, we're only taking the absolute worst case scenario if we have to give health care and everybody breaks their legs at once.
Right, and I think they admitted too that they were only asked to look at like four things. I mean, we can all like cherry pick four things on any subject and make it look make it look our way. I think, as the president pointed out, the Congressional Budget Office, that's why it's nonpartisan. Obviously, there's some things that make the White House look good and some that don't, and this is the opposite of what's in the CBO report.
Well, yeah, and you always want the drug addict to be the one planning the intervention.
I love it. You write, it's like asking captured bank robbers if they'd mind not robbing banks anymore. When they say, yes, we mind, you'd ask if they'd stop shooting hostages. And when they say, well, think about it, you thank them for accepting their punishment so gracefully and release them.
And the way the White House is playing the public option, I mean, it's just so coy, it's so aggravating. It's like,
yeah.
it's like having a girlfriend, tease you with anal on your birthday. Okay, maybe, I'm not against it. It's certainly part of the plan.
At some point, maybe. I agree. Now,
yeah, what do you say to that?
that set me back a pace. All right, let's get to the part. You write a very hilarious piece about Cal Thomas, and he's the who is he exactly? He's a right wing.
He's just a right wing columnist commentator. I think he's on. Is he on Fox and Friends or Fox News Sunday?
Yeah, like
one of
the Beltway
things.
Boys or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he wrote
which,
anyway.
By the way, is the most homosexually named of the talk shows.
They should be called the Dance Belt Boys.
Exactly. Yeah.
He wrote a piece about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in which you write, when Cal Thomas is not miserably off on his Michelle Bachmann action figure, which he finds strangely less fulfilling than masturbating on his Sarah Palin ragdoll, he's penning columns where the searing repression of his libido bursts forth in a spray of nonsense, lies, and unspoken desire. In his latest Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and Don't Legitimize, Thomas, whose picture really, and come on, looks like a gayer Paul Lynde with a bad dye job, flails about in a strange attempt to justify legal discrimination against gays in the military. So tell us more about his
yeah.
column.
It's a column where he goes through and tries and says, the discomfort of straight soldiers should be the guiding reason why we don't allow gays in the military. And then he has this just absolutely stunning line towards the end of it, where he says that Obama's election shouldn't be seen as an invitation to give blanket approval to homosexuality, considered by some to be against the best interests of the people who practice it, as well as the nations that accept it. So it's like, So you're saying that, that the nations that accept homosexuality are bad, or that they're, it's against their interests. And I'm just thinking, I kind of think that most of the nations we sort of admire actually accept homosexuality, and most of the nations, I don't know, we're at war with don't.
Yeah, exactly. I love what you talk about, what he means by reshape the military, that we want Carson Kressley on 24-hour call.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, we got to make the military fabulous. It's really, you know, it's not just camouflage. It's coordinating camouflage.
That's exactly it. So there were some fun facts I had not heard about. There was a challenge, was it last week, to Prop 8 out here in California, which outlawed gay marriage?
Yep. And that was, and the judge in that just kicked the ass of the lawyer in that was representing the Prop 8 people, where he just asked point blank, do you have any evidence that gay marriage is going to hurt straight marriage? And the lawyer just sat there going, homina, 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 homina.
You said that was one of the great homina, homina moments in the history of jurisprudence.
Because all he could sit there and say, I don't know. Wow. It's almost like nobody had ever asked him that question, which you think would be the first one that they would do.
I need evidence?
He became Orly Tate. Let me finish. Well, actually, the specific question you say he asked is, what is the harm to the procreation purpose you outlined of allowing same-sex couples to get married? And he literally said, homina, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, and then later he asked, and then they brought up that in the Netherlands, you know, there's been there's gay marriage is legal, and that straight couples were not getting married; they were just staying domestic partners. And the judge said, "So has that harmed the children of the Netherlands? Do you have any evidence that that's harmed the children of the Netherlands?" And again, he said. I got nothing. All right, you got me.
Where do you think dykes come from?
And then
what do you say? Huh?
Both of you collided getting to that joke.
Sorry.
Some Dutch boys
did
have a no-do.
Just rush with a dyke joke?
We collided. We hip-checked each other with that.
Beautiful.
They wear little wooden pointy shoes. Like, that's not gay.
What?
I don't know. All right. I had not heard any. You make a good point because I hadn't even heard of this. You talk about the media, and there was a gay bashing beating of a man named Jack Price in Queens, New York.
Yep.
And anyway, but talk about the, because you make a good point about media coverage in this stuff.
Oh, but the media that when the young when the African American honor student in Chicago was beaten to death, the White House sent Eric Holder and the Secretary of Education to Chicago to speak about it. When the bus incident happened with the black kids beating up the white kid on the bus with other people cheering, black and white kids cheering, Rush Limbaugh and everybody just went crazy going, see, this is Obama's America, where apparently black people can just freely beat white people.
Yes, I actually like the way you put it, how the usual suspects of right-wing tartary.
Yes.
Jumped on the story as a way of gleefully demonstrating that black people are getting uppity in the wake of Barack Obama's election.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just wondering, where's their outrage over this obvious hate crime? Where are they blaming some of their own rhetoric, maybe blaming Michelle Bachmann or Glenn Beck for some of this?
Yeah, yeah. I love how you point out, so far in conservative nutsoidville, there's been more outrage over Rush Limbaugh not being able to buy the St. Louis Rams. How hilarious is that?
What?
That's the worst thing that's ever happened to America, is some rich white billionaire is not able to buy a football team.
Why is he still alive?
No.
Studies show that ping-ponging weight back and forth kills people. And, you know, there must be some combination of Oxycontin and Dominican boy semen that keeps him alive.
Oh, goodness, look at the time. Well.
Oh, wait, maybe he'd have tried to buy a baseball team if that was the case.
Oh, boy. We're going to make Newsbusters again.
Yeah, we are.
All right, Rube Pundit, that's enough of you, sir. I will see you next week. You're fired until next week.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
I'll drink to that.
Yay.
There he goes, Lee Papa, the Rube Pundit.
RubePundit.blogspot.com.
That was very rude.
Yes. That was incredibly rude. Oh, by the way, we made Newsbusters.
Again?
Or no, not Newsbusters. What are those other? Oh, Radio Equalizer.
Oh, That's the one that's run by the failed talk show host that can't get a job to save his life?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. But,
He wants to be on a reality show.
The Stephanie Miller Show does need to issue a rare retraction. We will.
We do?
Regarding Rush Limbaugh as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So much fun, it should be illegal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Better.
Got some advice, and here's what I think can help the president get this public option done. You just have a press conference about 2 minutes in length and say, hey, listen, I'm the president, and I'm going to put the public option into law if I could today, but that's not how it works in this country. You got to have the congressmen and the senators, men and women, vote this thing in to a bill that I can sign into law. If I could do it myself, I would do it today, but I can't. And I think people will say, oh, he can't do it himself. And then, like I'm trying to do in the White House from
right.
my end.
You know, Tim, I think he's trying to avoid, you remember Clinton held up the pen and threatened to veto whatever with health care, and it just all imploded. So they're clearly, you know, trying to run the opposite play from whatever the Clintons did.
But it's about time he kind of put the gas on.
Yep, I agree.
He's at that time where that strategy is probably exhausted here. You need to go ahead and just say, if I could do it myself, I would, but this is why you need to contact your
if I were president, Tim, I'd be throwing tantrums every day. I'd be like, I'm president, just do it! That'd be me.
Or become The Rock Obama. Did you see Saturday Night Live?
The what?
The Rock Obama.
That was the second time that they've done
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yes, he got angry and turned into The Rock, and The Rock was actually there playing Obama. It was very funny.
That's funny. Yay. All right. Okay. We made the radio equalizer right wing thing again. This is the guy that once had a radio show you could hear on your fillings somewhere.
Kind of like Brian and the Judge.
Got canceled, and now he does a website about which shows are.
He's trying to equalize radio, you see.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I see.
From the liberal bias?
Of
talk radio.
I see. Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean he's trying to help progressive stations who are only about 10% of the stations in the country, as opposed to the 90%. He's trying to make sure there's even less progressive stations. I see. Yeah. Uh huh. So the things will be more equal.
Sure.
Mm. Okay. GTK. All right. He broke the news on when is this? Friday. Even after several media outlets have retracted the phony Limbaugh racist quotes. Actually, a lot of them are true. There's just a couple of them.
Right.
That's the problem. Most of them, we actually had the audio or the transcript.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them, somebody threw in there is. Okay. We're using the successful attempt to destroy his bid for the St. Louis Rams. Some lib talkers have stubbornly continued to repeat the smears.
Aww.
In this inexcusable instance from the Stephanie Miller Show, a number of fabricated quotes were read on air, even after a producer cautioned them that the source is suspect. That's true. You were on record as cautioning.
Well, that's what a producer does. He produces.
All right. The Stephanie Miller Show, which is to apologize to Brian Maloney and his stupid website. Whatever. Sorry. There's such a history of racist quotes. Most of them were true.
They didn't seem any more out of line than the real
ones.
No, they didn't.
The slavery one and the James Earl Ray one apparently have not been substantiated.
Right.
But
Media Matters for America at MediaMatters.org.
That's why they have them on all the time. Right. We recommend them if you want
They source every single quote, and they have a big list of quotes from Rush Limbaugh.
The point is, he obviously has an enormous history, including the thing he got fired for from ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
He has a history. It's not just like it's just my opinion. Clearly, he got this reputation from somewhere. It's from years and years of statements like that. That obviously. And by the way, the media had nothing to do with this. The investors asked him, you know, not to be part of the group. It's not like anybody prevented him. I mean, nobody said whatever. It's my fault that the head of the players union and the head of the NFL spoke out against it.
They're within their rights to speak
thank
out.
You.
Absolutely.
Thank you. They've been listening to him for years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was a fairly heartfelt apology, wasn't it?
Yeah. That'll do.
I apologize for... I apologize for misquoting a couple of racist quotes that apparently Marshall Limbaugh didn't say in an otherwise very rather sordid history of racism.
Right.
There.
You apologize if anybody was offended.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll offer the same kind of apology that most right-wingers do. If anyone was offended. Sorry. All right.
I bet they planted those quotes themselves just so they could talk.
I'm sure.
The real ones.
Yeah. They've done it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, this is... I'm supposed to apologize for that, but this is the... Wow. Someone sent me this. Human Events, ladies and gentlemen, have sent out the first impeachment screed, everybody. Hold your call. The first call for impeachment has been issued by the right-wing whack. What is this, Human Events something? I get...
Yeah, they're out in the weeds somewhere.
Yes, Julie alerted me to this. Mama, this will make you nostalgic for the kinder, more innocent time in America, the Clinton impeachment era. This is replete with very scary pictures of Obama. It's impeach
Is it the one with the
Obama?
Bone in his nose?
No.
No.
Just pictures of him yelling and frowning. And
looking all black and
stuff. Oh, and in one thing, they made him look like Tim Allen's neighbor where you can just see his eyes. So he just looks creepy just because you wonder, what's he looking over here at me for? And then he's wiping his face in one because he's sweaty. Because he's a sweaty socialist.
Or Nazi. Take your pick.
Something. He's frowning. Anyway, impeachobamacampaign.com.
Oh,
and this is actually quite a long... there's a lot of donate buttons, so there's a lot of places for which me to, I can send my hard-earned money in this vibrant economy.
Is Orly Tate's behind this? Maybe she's...
No, I'll tell you who is. We'll get to that.
Take a collection for
okay,
$20,000.
It goes on for pages and pages. I'll just read a little. Enough is enough. We're calling for the impeachment of Barack Hussein Obama, and if you agree, you can join us right now. Why are we calling for the impeachment of Barack Hussein Obama? Check this out, Chris.
Okay.
Because they cite radio personality Tammy Bruce.
May have
said it best. Ultimately, and they have a Tammy Bruce quote, I guess, which launched this whole... Ultimately, it comes down to the fact that he seems to have, it seems to me, some malevolence toward this country, which is unabated.
Huh? And what's her proof?
Because Tammy Bruce has sort of a feeling. She has a spidey sense. That's why we're impeaching him. Huh?
I just have a feeling about that
guy.
Yeah,
that he has a...
Tammy Bruce has malevolence towards society in general.
Toward everybody.
Yeah.
She's kind of screechy.
Can you impeach radio personalities? Okay, and then we have some starred questions here. Are you terrified of Barack Hussein Obama's campaign to change your country in a third world nation? Are you willing to sit back and watch Obama bulldoze our great nation? Are you willing to let him construct a totalitarian regime, fascism, socialism, Obamaism? Take your pick. If any of the scenarios concern you, join us. That's, you can actually click there and send.
You kind of need some legal basis for impeaching.
Oh, Jim! Okay, so ask yourself, in all seriousness, what is a movement to impeach Barack Hussein Obama really worth to you? Is it worth $100 or $50 or even $25? And yes, in these very difficult economic times, that will only get worse every day Barack Hussein Obama is in office. See, compared to letting him stay in office, Jim, it'll cost you less now.
Sure.
We will need a select number of people to step up to the plate. Please pray. Search your soul and ask yourself if you might be one of those people who can put $1,000 or $2,500 or even $5,000 into this effort to remove Barack Hussein Obama from office.
And replace him with Joe Biden.
Oh, wait!
And please send a couple of friggin' sharks with laser beams attached to their head if you can. And then look at the giant donate button there, Jim.
Donate! Or else!
You know, I have one simple request. And that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Oh, all right. So this is brought to you by... So later on, there is a... this is the introduction of who is actually behind this. And he's proud of what a right-wing asshat he's been all his life. A personal introduction is in order. My name is Floyd Brown. Oh, these are fun facts.
Oh, okay.
My name is Floyd Brown. Most people know me as the man behind the infamous Willie Horton ad that sunk presidential aspirations of Governor Michael Dukakis, or the pivotal work in support of confirmation Justice Clarence Thomas. I was also among the first to sound the alarm on the Clinton-Whitewater scandal, as well as the mysterious circumstances surrounding the apparent suicide of White House counsel Vince Foster. And when it comes to the subject of impeachment, I've been down this road and trod this ground before. I was among the first to rally for the impeachment of Bill Clinton. That's the kind of right-wing asshat I am. Join me. Donate now. All right. 57 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollard from Media Matters joins us for Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll be right back.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is up 21.6 minutes after the hour, everybody. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, or associate producer Rebecca Baker, or as we call her now, Mrs. Taylor.
Yes.
She got married while I was gone.
She did, Mrs. Taylor.
I don't know what's up.
Felt like I was in an episode of Mad Men or something.
The world's gone all cattywampus since Mama's been gone.
Yeah.
I go to New York for 1 second, and she ups and gets married. Whatever. All right. Jeff, one of our very immature listeners, says, Steph, could we please hear Terry Jeffrey and Britt Hume doing their car startup impressions? I like to hear them start their cars simultaneously. Oh, Jeff, that is so immature. But
Wow. We're so immature.
And I'm still a little bit sick, so I can do my Katharine Hepburn as well. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the important business of the day. You know, the White House talking about Fox News again this weekend. Why? It seems like it might be time for for another right-wing world, joined by Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming on with us as usual.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, you know, this is your specialty, busting Fox News, the White House doing your work this weekend.
You seem to be on the similar page. I mean, Media Matters has been stressing that Fox News is, for months we've been stressing that Fox News is not a real news organization. And I mentioned last week in a column that it's time for the press to stop treating them as a news organization, and they need to treat them the way they treat the RNC. But I have to say,
thank you, and stop like following their lead, like they're missing
exactly
a quote-unquote news story if they don't cover something Fox is covering.
But I have to say, the most fascinating, depressing part is watching the absolute lockstop reaction from the mainstream press. New York Times had a weekend review piece. Catherine Parker has a column. I mean, everyone is making the exact same point, which is why they call it the Village when they talk about the Beltway.
Yep.
Everyone is tisking that the White House, how dare they fact-check Fox News, and that this is the worst thing in the history of media. It's interesting. You know, Democrats are simply not supposed to call the press out by name, period. And when they do, I think we mentioned this before, when the Clintons did this occasionally during the Whitewater nonsense, you know, the press came down on them like a ton of bricks, and we're seeing the same thing.
Yep.
Democrats allowed to go after the press by name, period.
Yeah. Rahm Emanuel made the same point that you and I have made. He just said it's just not so much a news organization as it is a perspective. Which is fine. David Axelrod said, Mr. Murdoch has a talent for making money. I understand the program is geared toward making money. The only argument Anita was making is that they're not really a news station. It's not just their commentators, but a lot of their news programming, it's not really news. It's pushing a point of view.
As Media Matters documented last week, you know, there is no distinction between, you know, their primetime pundits and their news. I mean, the news, you know, the daytime news is filled with just as much information and lies and fabrications as, you know, Hannity and Beck. So, you know, the Fox News still clings to this this claim that they do two different things. They do all serious news during the day, and then they have opinion at night. And if you listen to Howard Kurtz and the other, you know, Beltway insiders, they totally sign off with this, on this nonsense. And I think the problem with the mainstream press is they just don't watch Fox News. I mean, they literally don't watch it, so they have no idea. And they just buy, the spin they sort of know Glenn Beck is crazy, but that's it.
Media Matters this week, I mean, you do a good job talking about, you know, the absolute character assassination that is going on with the president's so-called czars. You know, just one after another, they're trying to, you know, take them as human trophies. You talk about Anita Dunn, Glenn Beck talking about that she worships her hero, Mao.
Right.
But, I mean, tell us about that, because this is a perfect way that it's almost like a board game, isn't it? What the Fox? It's like you can tell how they're going to take something and skew it out of context and make it into a story, right?
Right, right. She, you know, they found video of some speech she'd given where she sort of, you know, she made this sort of offhanded or joking comment. In fact, people who listened to her chuckled, but everyone at Fox thought she was deadly serious when she mentioned, you know, her two favorite political philosophers were Mother Teresa and Chairman Mao. She said she was joking, and she also said she got the quip from Lee Atwater, the former, you know, Republican attack man. And Media Matters has pointed out that, you know, all the conservative, you know, leaders and commentators who have cited Lenin and Mao and lots of other, you know,
right,
you know, evil communists in the past as being, you know, sharp political philosophers, and just sort of the silly guilt by association. If you ever mention Chairman Mao, therefore you are unfit to work in the White House.
Yeah, yeah, and oddly, a lot of conservatives have done that, but huh, they've not been featured on Fox News. Interesting.
No.
All right. All right, Eric, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Juan Williams, I guess he's what passes for a liberal on the Fox News. By the way, they fired the only other one I heard. What, Mark Lamont Hill?
Yeah.
Apparently has been fired. I think he had the audacity to defend Van Jones at some point. So that was...
You're fired.
That was it for him, apparently.
Yeah, they fired their liberal commentator for being too liberal.
Exactly. That's why I'm not invited back anymore. You need to be the right kind of liberal.
You have to be a Juan Williams liberal. Yeah. Exactly.
A total sycophant, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I'm not sure who called him a house slave. But
when you think things are being falsely said about him and you stand
up as
a black man to say it, well, God help you, God help me, because now we are the targets of attacks and we are made out to be less than faithful to all that's happened to black people in America and honest in our criticism. We're made out to be house slaves.
Ah. I think, once again, Eric, he's saying something that no one said. I don't think anyone called Juan Williams a house slave.
I haven't heard that in quite a while. And again, you know, it's funny. This is exactly why NPR will not allow Juan Williams to be identified, particularly when he goes on O'Reilly as an NPR contributor. Why NPR allows him to go on? You know, Jacob Weisbarg has a very good piece this week saying that, you know, serious journalists should not be on Fox News. Marl Eisen should not be appearing on Fox. Juan Williams should not be appearing on Fox because they're not. It's not a real news organization.
Right. Yep.
And not only do they harm their own reputation, but they harm the reputation of their parent company, like NPR.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, you know, with Juan, I mean, that was a classic straw man. You know, he's taking umbrage over regarding something that
no one said.
Never said.
Yeah, and don't you love how that Fox News treated like Rush Limbaugh not being able to buy a football team is the worst tragedy that has ever befallen the United States of America.
Yeah, Limbaugh's failed vanity business deal is suddenly, as Rush said, says a lot about the future of our country.
I've had a hard time getting out of bed ever since I heard. All right, Hannity on healthcare. Here
so even as debate rages over Obama's healthcare plan, and despite the fact that his stimulus has done nothing to address unemployment in this country, President Obama says he's just warming up. Now there's a pleasant thought.
I guess he's ignoring the fact that just about every economist on both sides of the aisle thinks the stimulus is working.
Well, I think the above the fold headline late last week on the Wall Street Journal, which still knows something about business, basically saying that, you know, most people most economists say the economy has made a turn and the recession ended months ago. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, you know, Hannity and particularly Neil Cavuto back in the spring when the Dow was at 6,000. I mean, this was all, you know, Obama's fault. He was killing small investors. He was valuing the dollar. He was running the economy into the ditch. And now we flirt with 10,000 and it sort of bummed. Suddenly the stock market isn't so important.
Yeah, the Boner, John Boner said that. I don't think the American people care about that.
That's right. The Americans, they don't care about their 401k. They don't care about stuff.
All right. Karl Rove, who we're still not certain why he's not in prison on the Hannity show instead.
Over the last 9 months,
since President Obama's been inaugurated, we have seen massive new spending, horrific new debt, expansion of government that unsettles a lot of people, and an attempt to take the most personal of decisions, your health care, and turn it over to a government bureaucrat. So the political tide is shifting, but it's not just sort of the normal setting back to the norm. Something set it in motion, and the something that set it in motion is President Obama's policies.
See, the Bush administration, Eric, they interfered in your personal medical decisions in the right way in the Terry Schiavo case. This is the wrong way.
That is a classic example. I mean, what Terry Schiavo, I mean, they literally wanted senators were diagnosing patients from the well of the Senate, and suddenly the government, of all people, were the final arbiters in terms of, you know, health issues like that. You know, I mean, Karl Rove is trying to paint this very radical notion that there's an uprising out there and that President Obama, you know, the centrist Democrat, is some sort of a radical figure in American history. And that's what they keep pushing, and that's what they're going to push until next year. But, I mean, that's what the right-wing media is going to push, this idea. But, you know, there's no indication that the American people see Obama as any sort of, you know, radical player or anything like that.
All right, Steve Hayes on the Britt Baer show on how the president's not doing anything that anybody cares about.
So you have a president who's seen unemployment rise, while that's the number one issue for most Americans, beyond the 8% that his administration pushed to now approaching 10%. Mm-hmm. And you've seen government spending explode, unprecedented levels of government spending, mm-hmm. all the while he has spent the most of his time talking in public, giving speeches, talking about health care, which comes in as the top issue for only 13%. So they're just missing. He's not talking about the things that people care most about. And when he is talking about health care, he's reminding people of the thing that they're really concerned about with respect to spending. So I think he's boxed himself in.
Actually, maybe I'm crazy, but I do think that he's actually talked a little bit about unemployment. I believe that he actually has mentioned that as well as health care.
Yeah, and I think last time I checked, health care is tied into the economy since
it
sucks thousands of dollars out of every family's income every month. It's funny, you know, it's interesting if you hear the right, you know, Obama's just not doing anything. You know, they love that Saturday Night Live skit a couple weeks ago about how he hadn't accomplished anything. You know, if he hasn't done anything, then what are they so worried about? I mean, on the one hand, they paint him as this Che Guevarian radical who's completely turning America upside down. And then on the other hand, they say, well, he hasn't done anything. He's just too passive and he's not
addressing.
Which is it? Well, yeah, take your pick.
Has he turned us into a socialist hellhole in 9 months, or has he done nothing? Which is it?
He's either a do-nothing or he's a radical who's ruining America. I mean, take your pick.
Yeah. Charles Krauthammer on the Britt Baer. Don't you love, Eric, the people that I didn't hear much of a peep about the deficit during the Bush years. But,
so what does he have on his account? A stimulus package which hasn't done anything to the economy except to create an undeniable $1 trillion debt that's going to be added on to our debt at a time when the dollar is under attack. So, look, this is his doing.
Ah, I see. Go ahead, Eric. Your thoughts.
Well, this is what they've been saying the whole time. I mean, the economy is going to undo Obama, and that this is his Achilles heel, and you know, he's got his signature all over it. And we'll see. I mean, that's how politics works. But the idea that, you know, the stimulus has cratered the economy and it's in a free fall, as we said, you know, virtually every economist thinks, you know, the economy has turned around.
We'd be in a much deeper hole.
Yeah. Now, whether it's going to be a V-shaped recovery, I doubt most people think it is. But you're right. I mean, people for like Krauthammer to now be lecturing, you know, Democrats about deficit spending is somewhat ironic. And like Stephen Hayes, they almost seem to be cheering for higher unemployment. They seem to be cheering for failure in Afghanistan. They seem to be cheering that, you know, the United States didn't get the Summer Olympic Games. It's this very weird line that they're on, and it's definitely like America fail first at this point.
Yeah, and Charles Krauthammer, also a as you know, well-known historian. Apparently, Barack Obama, he must have inherited, I guess, prosperity and peace everywhere.
He's got all kinds of troubles. He's dithering on Afghanistan, a war he said had to be won, essential war, etc. He's the guy who's lost his popularity with an alarming rate and support of independence over health care. His initiative, on which he's given, 28 speeches, and still has a majority of Americans opposing. He's the one who caved in to the Russians on the missile defense. He sold out our friends, the Poles and the Czechs, supposedly as a way to get Russian support on Iran. He sends his Secretary of State this week. She gets humiliated in Moscow, and the Russians indicate that they are not going to help or budge on Iran at all. This is all his doing. It's not the Bush doing.
Wow. So he's accomplished quite a bit, apparently.
Well, again, back to the, you know, the part we were talking about. He's either done nothing or he's completely scrambled everything. Look, you know, Fox News and the right is, they're trying to portray, you know, Obama as this Jimmy Carter-like figure who is just completely cratered. And, you know, the fact is last week Gallup and there was another poll that had Obama bouncing up about 5 points in the job approval rating. I mean, Obama is, 55-56%. That is right in the sweet spot. George Bush would have sold the White House if he could have had job approval ratings like that, like at any point in his second term. So there's a complete disconnect.
Well, and the fact is, he is going to get health care, and his numbers will go up more, and then Fox News will have to have a new story.
Yeah, right. Well, they'll keep swinging away. It's only 9 months in, you wonder how much more unhinged they can become. I mean, they've got 40 more months of just the first term. He'll get health care and it'll go up. And, you know, if he ends the year at, my gosh, 58-59% approval rating, we haven't seen anyone like that in a couple decades at the end of his first term. Certainly Ronald Reagan never dreamt of having job approval ratings at the end of his first year.
We say to Fox News, ha-ha! All right, Eric Bollert at Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work. Thank you, Eric.
Talk to you soon.
See you next time. There he goes. Everybody, our pal, 22 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 26 minutes after the hour. Hey, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I think it's time that the right wing sits down and someone, you know, just basically puts a smart chip in them or something and says, listen, make up your mind. Is he turning the country into a socialist empire? Is he doing that, or is he sitting on his butt doing nothing? We need to get this story straight, because we're saying he's changing the whole country for the worse, but then we're saying he's doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
They need to sit down and make up their minds, because they're confusing me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I understand I'm easily confusable, because I have the same thing. I have the shiny object syndrome, where I see something and I'm like, ooh. But,
you're like, ooh, balloon boy. Yeah, I understand. I understand. Yeah, as the president said, he's, I believe, been in office, 9 months now?
Sometimes these reporters on the news are, well, why haven't you solved world hunger yet? Why has everybody done it? It's been 9 months. Why isn't there... I never said it was going to be easy.
He's funny. You got to give him that. All right.
Same age as my mother.
What?
I miss George Bush.
Guess
just for the comedy.
Guess who also likes Obama better than George W.? George Sr. We'll tell you what he had to say. Aw, they had a love fest over
Good
the weekend.
Boy.
We'll talk about that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think any guy who would want to go out with
Stephanie Miller
is going to be weird.
Oh, boy. Oh, did I tell you, by the way, I'm getting off the plane, because I was, it looked like 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. As you know, I was sick all week in New York.
Right.
I got home late Friday night, and as I'm getting off the plane, it's seriously, worst I've ever looked. I was all phlegmy and coffee and gross, and he's like,
swollen.
Hey, you're Stephanie Miller, and the flight attendant's like, you're Stephanie Miller. I was like, oh, She goes, I wonder what you look like. I'm like, not like this. I don't look like this.
Why? You look like you're 60 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, you run around town all day long not getting recognized, and then the one time you do get recognized.
That's the worst, the time that you do not want anyone. I was like,
what a
phlegmy
hag.
And then he walked with me all the way to baggage. He's like, I love your views on health care. And I'm almost like, oh.
Hey, look, I'm Stephanie Miller over here. Look at her.
All right, 34 minutes after the hour. The Dow is up 52 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, can I have my Courtship of Eddie's Father song? You know how George Bush Sr., Jim, and Bill Clinton, Clinton probably the son he wished he had. Now he's getting all cuddly with Barack Obama,
Pardon
too.
The whole BJ thing.
President Obama flew to Texas Friday to appear with former President Bush at an event that quickly took the atmosphere of a mutual admiration society between the two men. They were there for a forum marking the 20th anniversary of the Points of Light Institute. Thousand Points of Light. It's a nonprofit organization dedicated, of course, to promoting community service. Oh, so he was the original.
Organizer.
He was a community organizer originally, George Sr. Interesting. Some politicians, Bush said, came to the Gulf Coast just to get their faces on TV.
Not going to mention any names.
Oh. But Obama seemed different. He came without fanfare, Bush said of Obama. I could quickly see he was someone who genuinely cared about others. Notably absent from the stage, George W. Oh, interesting. I guess he's not one of the thousand points of light.
However.
The current president heaped praise on the former president. Obama said he could easily have chosen a life of comfort and privilege. Instead, time and time again, when offered the chance to serve, he took it.
Unlike
so much
fun. Unlike certain sons of mine.
Exactly. Meanwhile, did you see George Sr., speaking of which, he said something bad about my future husband, Keith Olbermann.
Uh-oh. How
dare he. And our dear friend, Rachel Maddow, he called them sick puppies.
Did he give a reason?
Yeah, don't ask me. In an interview, he assailed the tone of our national discourse. He didn't mention anyone on the right, I guess. Didn't mention Fox News.
He didn't mention Fox News?
Huh.
Glenn Beck?
He said, I don't like it. The cables have a lot to do with it. I love that he calls it the cables.
Series of tubes.
Adding that MSNBC's Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann were partly responsible. While he said he doesn't believe in personal name-calling, Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow.
Well, then why did he personally name-call there?
Yeah, he singled them out, calling them sick puppies. The way they treat my son and anyone who's opposed to their point of view, horrible. Maddow had Olbermann on by phone because he was sick. He said, I think I speak on your behalf here, and I say we're very grateful for the former president's concern about our health. Because they were both sick last week. And me, too. Coincidence? I mean, he's the father of the process that took us to the place we are now. He's the man who employed Roger Ailes. He and Roger Ailes are the man who ran the Willie Horton ad against Mike Dukakis, Olbermann pointed out. We have the former president, I believe.
Don't care for the way Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow treat my son and anyone who's opposed to their point of view. Don't think it's right. Don't like their tone. They ought to be fair and balanced like that little Roger Ailes outfit, Fox News. Don't blame them for being upset. The way their boy Obama has messed up, inherited a strong, thriving economy and the best health care system in the world. Now, look what he's done with it. These lefties, Keith and Rachel, are sick puppies, all right? Sick puppies sometimes have to be put down.
Oh.
Just saying. As in the CIA, know some people. People who kill people. They're the schmuckiest people in the world, but they get the job done. Wouldn't be flying in any small aircraft. Just saying. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
Did Bush Sr. ever say the words prudent at this juncture?
No.
Or was that
not
a complete...
together.
A complete Dana Carveyism.
Yes, this is Dana Carveyism.
Okay.
He said them separately.
I'm sure he had used it in a sentence. It's not the same time.
He did. He just had a weird way of emphasizing words, didn't
he?
Yeah,
uh-huh.
This juncture.
Don't like their tone.
You're just like, it's a teacher. You're like, why is he emphasizing? We have to know this?
Is going to be in the final?
We need to write that down. He's emphasizing that part. Is that the important part? Wouldn't be prudent. Okay. All right. What the fox? We talked to Eric Bollard at Media Matters about this, but... Do I? Oh, by the way, do we have our war on the Fox war on the White House montage at all? I don't know. I'm just asking. White House advisors pledged to book administration officials on Fox News despite claims by the president's inner circle that the cable network is a GOP mousepiece.
On the cables.
The cables.
The cables. They're doing it.
Rahm Emanuel said it is not a news organization so much as it is a perspective, which is true. A Fox News executive accused the White House of continuing to declare war on a news organization. Wah. He said the door remains open and we welcome a discussion about the facts behind the issues. Well, that would be something new for Fox. They would actually, oh, I see, include the facts behind the issues. Interesting. Karl Rove said the Obama administration is trying to demonize Fox News for asking questions officials don't like. He compared Obama's approach to that of Richard Nixon, who had an enemies list. He said this is a White House engaging in its own version of the media enemies list. Fox News, he said on Fox News, it's unhelpful for the country and undignified for the president of the United States to do so. Oh, whatever.
Whatever.
Tubby McTreason. David Axelrod said Fox News should not be treated as a news organization. He said the bigger thing is that other news organizations like yours ought not to treat them that way, and we're not going to treat them that way. Yeah, it's war. Yeah.
The President of the United States delivered his message that will ask for a declaration of war.
This is a battle that the White House has launched on Fox News.
A state which will live in infamy.
He declared war on Fox News.
Fox News operates as either the research arm or the communications arm of the Republican Party.
Another White House attack on Fox News. Let's bring in Fox News senior political analyst Britt Hume.
No, they criticize us as Republicans.
Mayday, mayday, copy.
Feel a center-right country.
He declared war on Fox News.
The president will appear on Fox News sometime, possibly before the end of the year, but we have been told that all of our requests have been denied.
Fox News.
Chickens! Coming home to roost.
Abby in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Abby.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
So I noticed that Eric Bolert does not pronounce his name Baylert. So he proves the idiom that when two vowels go walking, the first one does a talk.
Oh, there you go, Eric Bolert.
He's got to talk to the Boner about that.
John Boner, thank you. When two vowels go, I think Mama has explained the simple rules before.
When two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking.
All right. The point is, we should all grab a mop or something, or the house is on fire, grab a hose, Jim, or a mop or something.
You know, I'm busy, and Nancy's busy with our mop cleaning up somebody else's mess. We don't want somebody sitting back saying, you're not holding the mop the right way. Why don't you grab a mop? Why don't you help clean up?
President on fire this weekend, talking about getting fired up, you know.
Those folks who are trying to stand in the way of progress, they're all, let me tell you, I'm just getting started.
I love that lady.
I don't quit.
That lady. All right, now.
You testify, brother.
It's in New Orleans in the lower Ninth Ward.
Wait, let me hear that again. Can I get a hallelujah?
Those folks who are trying to stand in the way of progress, they're all, let me tell you, I'm just getting started. I don't quit.
All right, now.
So at least the Church of What's Happening Now.
Yeah.
I love that. It suddenly turned into Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah.
All right, the president again.
You can throw whatever you want at me. Keep it coming. We're going to get this done. We're going to get health care done. We're going to get clean energy done. We're going to get climate change done. We're going to fix our schools. We are going to deal with the problems internationally that I was elected to deal with. We are at a rare moment.
Yeah, that's right. It's a new day. Fired up. Ready to go. Thank you. All right. Did you ever see the In Loving Color parody of Def Comedy Jam? People are like screaming and doing somersaults, and a lady stood up and like shot a baby across the stage. She was so excited. She had a baby. She like gave birth, but
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a little over the top, but it was funny.
Well, Living Color was a little over the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Loved
they had Jim Carrey playing a fireman with facial burns.
My dad hated that character.
What was that
fireman
character?
Bill? Fireman Bill.
Yeah. Yes.
Or Fire Marshal Bill.
Marshal. That was it. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
All right. 43 minutes after the hour. All right. It's go time for healthcare. We'll tell you what's happening as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Peggy in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Peggy.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm volunteering to be the official German linguist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, we have a German story coming right up. That's weird. You're also you're the German linguist psychic of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, it goes back to the two vowels go walking thing.
Oh, okay.
The banner's name.
Uh-huh.
It's not really two vowels.
It's an umlaut. Really?
Yeah, Bear it's umlaut at O.
Yeah.
Where you shape your mouth like you're going to pronounce O, and you try to say E.
Oh.
Yeah, French has a similar sound.
But no, that's
yeah.
U.
E.
No, it's U. It's not U. That would be U.
This is sounding like a right-wing radio show. It's just guttural.
It's Rihanna. It's Rihanna's new song.
Yes.
Kind of what Brian Mulroney's show sound like.
Burna, not Buna.
People think they stumbled across Brian and the Judge.
Yeah.
Buna means stage.
Okay. I guess she knew the headline, Jim. Nazi gnomes invade Germany. What?
Oh, my God.
You wouldn't normally think of garden gnomes as being leading advocates of fascist ideology.
Huh?
Well, I would. Given that they're mostly concerned with sitting on logs in gardens, wearing hats and fishing in small ponds. But these gnomes are a bit different. 1,250 of them.
I'm not a Nazi.
Just appeared in a public square in the German town of
Straubing.
Am I going to die?
All with arms raised in the Nazi salute. They're the work of Otmar Horder.
Who?
Horder.
Is there an umlaut there?
How's it spelled?
I know, it's an O with two little dots above it.
That's an umlaut. That's an umlaut at O.
Exactly.
What's the rest of the spelling?
H-O-R-L.
Yeah, hurl. As in hurl. It's like something like hurl.
Hurl.
Fine. A professor at the Nuremberg Academy of Fine Arts. And far from being an insidious attempt to spread far-right ideals through the medium of novelty garden ornaments, the artwork is actually intended as a warning about the manipulation of the masses through fascist politics. Glorifying Nazism or Hitler are their criminal offenses, you know, in Germany. He insists that his artwork, entitled Dance with the Devil, is satire which mocks fascism, you see.
Hmm.
There's a movie about it, I believe.
Yes.
Coming this fall to theaters everywhere, it's a totally original musical film which is completely unlike anything you have seen before. At least that's what the lawyers tell us. See, the Nazi gnomes in the Reichsmarschall of Oz.
We represent the Lebensraumguild, the Lebensraumguild, the Lebensraumguild, and in the name of the Lebensraumguild, we wish to march into Sudetenland.
Thrill to the wicked witch of the Westwall.
Who killed meine Schwester? Was it you, Poland? Was it you, France? I'll get you, meine pretty, and your little Alsatian, too.
Follow Dorothy Gelstein and her kameraden as they flee to the Swiss border while dodging the blue monkeys of the Luftwaffe in their Stukas. Today, Munchkinland. Tomorrow, the world. The Reichsmarschall of Oz. Coming soon. Pay no attention to the men in the jodhpurs and jack boots behind the bunker.
See, if the Balloon family had Nazi garden gnomes, they would have gotten the reality show.
Yeah.
See, then it wouldn't have been so bad. All right, let's let's move on. So healthcare, obviously, heating up once again. Julie, by the way.
Yes.
Right, Steph, if you only had a radio station for every time we've heard some nincompoop say, America has the best healthcare in the whole world. According to Pew Research, only 15% of Americans say American healthcare is the best in the world. 59%, that's nearly 60, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Feel American healthcare is merely average or below average, as it turns out. The president talking about healthcare this weekend.
As the debate draws to a close, we can point to a broad and growing coalition of doctors and nurses, workers and businesses, hospitals, and even drug companies folks who represent different parties and perspectives, including leading Democrats and many leading Republicans, who recognize the urgency of action.
Yeah, by the way, more and more Republicans speaking out about the need for health care reform. Oddly, none of them that are actually in office in a capacity to do anything about
Bill Frist.
It. Only when it's safe politically.
Frist coming out in support of health care reform.
Well, yes. So, the key trio, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Senator Chris Dodd, and Max Baucus, working behind closed doors now to merge the two competing versions of the Senate bills.
Mm-hmm.
Rahm Emanuel, I guess, also involved. House Leader John Boehner, House Minority
Boehner.
Leader.
Boehner.
Boehner. He was already blubbering about it. This bill is being written in the dark of night. Maybe he's opened the tanning bed. Maybe it just seems dark in there.
He forgot to wear his goggles in the tanning bed.
Should be at the top of her list to be out in the daylight. This bill's being written in the dark of the night.
Do we get to see it? Nope.
He needs to see it so he can throw it down in a little hissy fit.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope, we don't have time to do that.
A White House spokesman placing the Boehner firmly in the Isn't It Ironic file. He said it's ironic that Congressman Boehner would be complaining since he's refused every step of the way to participate in the effort to reform health insurance. The House and the Senate held scores of hearings on health insurance reform, as Congressman Boehner well knows. And at the White House, we've held an unprecedented series of webcast meetings with the key health care stakeholders to gather their input in a public forum.
And Boehner was at the bar.
Was not at the top of his list.
It's not on top of my list.
He was at Barfi's Bar and Grill.
Hello, Rob Roy. Come in.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
Top of our list.
The president explaining we are farther along than we've ever been thus far.
Just this week, the Senate Finance Committee approved a reform proposal that has both Democratic and Republican support. For the first time ever, all five committees in Congress responsible for health reform have passed a version of legislation. As I speak to you today, we are closer to reforming the health care system than we have ever been in history.
He took it to the insurance companies. He took away what may have been his hardest shot at the health care industry, stating that while health care reform is close to passage, opponents are trying to marshal their forces for one last fight to save the status quo and are running deceptive and dishonest ads and suggest that insurers could lose their antitrust exemption, by the way.
Why do they have that anyway?
If you keep pissing me off.
For decades, whenever we have tried to reform the system, the insurance companies have done everything in their considerable power to stop us. We know that this inaction has carried a terrible toll. In the past decade, premiums have doubled. Over the past few years, total out-of-pocket costs for people with insurance rose by a third. And we know that if we do not reform the system, this will only be a preview of coming attractions.
Another good, the bad, and the ugly moment from the president's speech.
I welcome a good debate. I welcome the chance to defend our proposals and to test our ideas in the fires of this democracy. But what I will not abide are those who would bend the truth or break it to score political points and stop our progress as a country.
Then I become the Rock.
What we all must oppose are the same old cynical Washington games that have been played for decades, even as our problems have grown and our challenges have mounted.
Then I become the Rock, Obama. Get it? Because he did that on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. So he became actually the Rock, the wrestling guy. Okay. a key Democrat voice confidence yesterday, Senate leaders will include a public option. Chris Dodd, did you see him on Meet the Press, I believe? He said what has happened to other embattled legislation over the years. When you end up on the floor of the Senate, you find sometimes you get more support than you earlier anticipated. I have not given up, he said. By the way,
what?
Here's a little a fun fact. A New York Times CBS poll released in September found 65% of respondents favor a public option with 26% opposed. Interesting. That's
like almost two-thirds.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot.
What do you know about that? Merry Christmas.
They didn't report that on Fox News, did they?
Senator Tom Harkin, Democrat of Iowa.
It's going to cost us a bunch of money, but it's time to level the playing field and get it done for once and for all.
That's right. Get her done.
Yeah, and getting rid of that antitrust exemption. Why do they have that in the first place?
Schumer said it was one of the worst accidents of history. Exactly. Why did they get it in the first place? All right, 57 minutes after the... What? Representative Joe Sestak has a major announcement on the Stephanie Miller newscast.
That's right, and John Podesta is going to be joining us next hour as well.
Oh, my goodness, I wouldn't miss a moment.
Is he having octuplets? Is that the announcement?
No. He will be landing in a shiny balloon saucer? For his announcement on the Stephanie Miller show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, there's no place like home. Mama's back home in L.A. My new rescue puppy, Fred.
Fred?
He has been, I've been wearing him as a hat the last couple days. He's still a little, you know.
Clingy.
Yeah, a little
high
clingy.
Strong.
Because I only rescued him 3 weeks ago and Mama went away to New York last week.
Oh.
So he's been like the Grinch's dog. He's wrapped around Mama's head.
Fred?
I love you, Fred.
He's got reindeer antlers on.
He's pulling a sled. You're making him pull a sled?
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800. Someone's got to do it. The box wine's heavy. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll-free.
That's why you need to have children. So that you can send them to get your box
not
wine for you.
Not after Balloon Boy. Oh. I got bumped off MSNBC for Balloon Boy. I fly 3,000 miles and I get bumped for Balloon Boy and it turns out to be a hoax.
Flew 3,000 miles both way uphills?
Yes, in the snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Friggin' Balloon Boy. Boy, that story just gets betterer and betterer, doesn't it? Oh, boy. A little. So it looks like it's going to the latest is it looks like there's going to be federal charges, right? It turns out they were trying to get a reality show. Which Jim said earlier, what's more pathetic than trying to be a reality star? You're pathetic enough if you are on a reality show. If you can, if you're not even pathetic enough to get a reality show, that is a wow.
I want to be the next Richard Hatch.
What? He just got out of prison, by the way.
Yeah.
The naked fat guy.
Good,
the naked,
good for him.
Mm-hmm. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. There's new pictures and everything.
Nude pictures?
New.
What? I thought you said nude.
Yeah, it's
new.
Sounds like nude pictures. That'll get turning in.
And you can tweet me.
Ooh.
And you can be clothed if you want or not. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, or associate producer Rebecca Baker, or Mrs. Taylor, as we call her.
That's right.
She got married. My mama was gone.
And she makes us call her Mrs. Taylor.
She's out there doodling a little hearts. Mrs. Rebecca Taylor. All right. She barely has time to answer the phone, do you? All right.
I'm trying to use the phone.
She's very
I'm trying to use the phone.
She's all honeymoony and gross. All right. I came back from New York bitterer than ever. Because I told you, I ovulated for a moment on Friday when I thought that there was a boy in the balloon. I'm like, please.
There's a boy in the balloon.
Someone get him down. And I was like, you little bastard.
Yeah.
All right.
You can marry me.
Man. That one made me puke.
All right. Gross on so many levels. Oh, all right. On. Julie writes, Mama, Mike Huckabee owes Chuck Norris $23,570 from the campaign endorsement.
Oh.
Not a big deal, really. Just a handy excuse for you to make those hilarious ninja noises. Just saying, he wants that money back.
Yeah.
And he's coming to get it.
He's coming to get it. Wearing his action jeans.
Exactly.
You know who put those sound effects together for us?
Mm.
Rebecca's husband.
Mr. Taylor?
Mr. Taylor.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated with this whole thing. I've been heckling her every time I go out to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
I'm Mr. Taylor.
And she loves it.
Yeah, sure she does. All right. Julie in Seattle also sends along why Americans can't have nice things. Mama, gas in Afghanistan cost the military $400 to $1,000 a gallon. Boy, and I thought it was bad here in L.A. She says, I'm thinking when the Democrats in the House get done looking into it, they may find some military contractor pockets got generously lined along the way. Now, I'm with you, Mama, on cutting the president some slack to address the awful mess he inherited, but none for the repugs and right-wing worlders with their whining about universal health care being too expensive while they lean on the president to give the Pentagon all the $400 a gallon gas and 50-cent lives it finally needs to achieve wargasm. The fun fact she sends along, I did not know this, Jim, did you? Afghanistan, with its lack of infrastructure, challenging geography, and increased roadside bomb attacks, is a logistical nightmare for the U.S. military, according to congressional sources. It's expensive to transport fuel and other supplies. A landlocked country, Afghanistan has no seaports, a shortage of airports, and navigable roads. Some analysts have estimated the fully burdened cost of fuel might even be as high as $1,000 a gallon.
Oh, my God.
In some parts of... That's why Afghanistan...
That's a wise investment.
Yeah,
cost of so much. It's also a miserable place to fight a war like there's any good place for it, but they're climbing uphill through this loose rock, you know.
Fighting a war in Tahiti wouldn't be that bad.
It's been done.
Yeah, it's not a climbing wall at Equinox or, you know...
Whatever!
It's a bit hard. Okay.
Equinox.
Whatever. Okay, Jim.
Solstice. Huh? Yes.
Who wrote, 2 weeks ago, I spent some time with one of the top scientists in the field of alternative energy, including John Holdren, the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology, aka our National Science Czar. I came away convinced the U.S., which for decades has been the world leader in science and technology, will soon be eclipsed by China and other countries. Alternative energy is the next tidal wave in tech innovation. If we miss it, we will not only weaken our economy and harm our national security, we will turn ourselves into a second-rate nation. As I sat there listening to the expert's seat, all I could think of is we're doomed. Who said that?
Jerry Seinfeld.
No, good guess. Daniel Lyons in the Newsweek magazine. An article called An SOS for Science. Jim, who said it's not because our scientists aren't brilliant. They are. But look at what they're up against. A noisy babble of morons and Luddites, the drill baby drill crowd, the birthers and Tea Party kooks who've done their best to derail health care reform and will do the same to any kind of energy policy. Holdren has an undergraduate degree from MIT, a PhD from Stanford. He has won countless awards for his work on nuclear proliferation, climate change, and alternative energy and population growth.
Oh. Are you okay?
Mm. Pardon me. No. But he now must sell his ideas to people who couldn't pass high school algebra and who believe they know more than he does. Who said that?
Jason Alexander.
Oh, incorrect again. Daniel Lyons in the new Newsweek magazine. Why, Jim? In Holdren's case, the attacks began after TV madman Glenn Beck claimed Holdren advocates controlling population growth by putting sterilants in drinking water and forcing women to have abortions. No matter that the claims are not true, and that Beck is a clown who cares only about boosting ratings for his show, the dopes howled for Holdren to resign. Holdren told me the controversy was no big deal, just a blip. But this kind of idiocy makes scientists and policymakers timid. Alternative energy is going to be an enormous market, one which will give birth to the next Google and Microsoft. Will those future tech giants be based in the United States only if we support our scientists instead of throwing up obstacles? Who said that?
Wayne Knight.
No, Daniel Lyons, an SOS for Science.
Newman.
Okay. Huh. All right. Hey, it's almost Halloween, everybody. This is very exciting. Well, because I have to get a new plan to get children to come to my house this year because I'm the weird drunk girl that kisses her dogs, so nobody ever comes to my house.
Yeah, and you give out things like apples and celery sticks.
I do not. I don't give out anything because no one ever comes.
Do you really buy candy every year?
I do.
Do you?
I really think I'm going to marry Keith Olbermann, too.
You should just buy doggy treats. So yeah. There's some in there.
All right. It's the drunk girl that owns the polar bears. I think that's how I'm known in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you just don't want your dogs eating the chocolate. That's bad.
Oh, boy band next door, he's on tour, so he's not going to be there. So what's the use of going to your neighborhood? Seriously.
People live there. There's people. I have candy.
People who eat candy.
Okay, how's about this one? A story out of Los Angeles here. A Southern California immigrants' rights group has asked Target to stop selling illegal alien Halloween costumes. They say are offensive to immigrants. Do you think? It's on Target's website. It's a mask of an alien with a green card and an orange jumpsuit with illegal alien written across the front.
That's funny!
Target says the store never intended to sell the outfit, but included it in the online offerings by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
What? We have, who do we have?
We have a representative of an anti-defamation
league. Oh, good idea. Mm-hmm.
We at the AADL, the Alien Anti-Discrimination League, are incensed over this outrageously inappropriate costume. We are so tired of the pie-eyed, moon-faced alien mask stereotype. There are many alien species visiting your planet. Not all of us are greys. Some of us are not even humanoid, as your arrogant, self-centered expression would have it. Some do not even have a physical form in this dimension. And the ones that do would not be caught dead in an orange jumpsuit. What up with that? Show me a species anywhere in the universe that looks good in orange. And what the fnork is a green card, anyway? You humans just better watch it. You are getting on our last trans-dimensional intergalactic nerve. We could turn this planet into a giant, lifeless, radioactive charcoal briquette in a New York minute if we wanted to. Although you're doing a pretty good job of taking a wrecking ball to the joint yourselves. Good plan, Sneed Forks. Oh, and by the way, if you run into one of us, don't say Klaatu Barato Nikto. It means something really filthy in at least 5 alien languages. That'll get you an anal probe right quick. And contrary to popular belief, we don't do astroglide. Leaves are... What the fnork? What the fnork? Flarkin? Flarkin? All right.
But astroglide has the word astro in it.
Exactly.
Space people have to use it.
Space goo.
It has ass in it. Okay, you know what? Someone lives next to someone louder than I do. I do live next to a famous boy band that has a screaming dog. And I live next to the gay guys up above that play the Cher 24/7. No kidding. Seriously. Screaming dog. Boy band and Cher people.
You don't want me to play a clip of a song from that particular boy band, do you?
No, I don't think I should say who and which and what exactly.
Okay.
A New York City neighbor is suing Madonna over loud music and dancing. I believe she paid about $40 million for that place. So I love the fact that someone can still go, shut up over there!
It was probably Sean Connery. What the hell are you doing down there? Is that a can of tosh?
One of her neighbors says her loud music and frequent dance sessions are causing a commotion. The neighbor said in a lawsuit that she's using her apartment as a rehearsal studio, forcing neighbors to endure blaring music, stomping and shaking walls.
Your neighbors.
The building's board says it has already threatened to evict Madonna.
Wow.
I don't think you can evict Madonna.
So Madonna and Courtney Love are going to get evicted from their places.
By the way, so I was in New York last week.
Right.
And I went to spinning class there because, you know, I go to spinning class here, the bicycle class that
I
love.
You were sick and you went to spinning
that
class?
That was early on in the week before
Steph,
I got sick.
And you were getting sick at the end of the week
yes.
before.
I told you not to go to spinning because you were sick before you got on the plane.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Anyway, my point is...
It's bad for your immune system.
The last time I lived in New York, as you remember, Mama hosted the morning show at Hot 97, everybody.
You're out of your mind.
And I was having a flashback because in the spinning classes in New York, they played the same music I played last time I was in New York, the CNC Music Factory. It was like an acid flashback. That's what they were playing. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Hot 97.
I wonder how many people you made sick in the spinning class.
Oh, that was like Monday. I wasn't that sick.
Yeah, you were. You were sick when you left.
CNC Music Factory made me sick. That's what happened.
And they made you sweat till you bleed.
Exactly.
Is that dope enough?
All right. There was a love story on Oprah. Did you see this? Mike Tyson and what's his name? Evander Holyfield.
They
reunited. Pardon me?
They had the incident.
I chomp. Oh, that here looks so good. I just want another piece. Just a little. Oh, yeah.
He was holding Holyfield's arm affectionately for several seconds. He said, "This is a beautiful guy. I just want you to know it's been a pleasure being acquainted with you."
Well, he's less beautiful now that he has a chunk out of his ear.
Asked by Winfrey if he was still missing part of his ear, Holyfield pointed to and said, "A little bit."
A little bit.
Just got a little bit. Missing a little bit of ear. What's a little bit of ear between friends? Come on. Speaking of love, Dennis Hopper claims he's no match for notorious ladies' man Jack Nicholson. He revealed in their ute... Nicholson was more successful with women, would often steal girls from him. Hopper said, I would pull one and then he'd pull them over to him. Oh, that's...
Hey, Denny, you want to know the secret? How to make them look past the chrome dome and the beer gut and get busy with the horizontal tango? You just got to with your eyes. Look right into their very soul. Make them feel like they're the most beautiful, fascinating, intelligent creature in the world. Then split and never call them again. Just remember the 4 F's. Find them, feed them, feel them, forget them. You'll have them eating out of the palm of your hand. Or anywhere else you like.
Oh, no. Oh.
Of course, it helps to get them drunk first. To kill the bug that they have up their ass.
Thank you, Jim.
dating advice from
Jack.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, Jack. All right, 20 minutes after the hour. What's up with the public option? We'll tell you as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Four minutes after the hour, Tommy in Columbus writes, as the show goes on, Mama's voice has gone from Brenda Vaccaro to Jimmy Durante.
Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha.
Dinky-dinky-doo.
Oh, boy.
Didn't
right.
Jimmy Durante...
Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Jimmy Durante did something with my favorite Christmas special of all time.
Which?
Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, that's a stupid one.
I hate you so much.
Everybody knows that the Grinch is the best one, followed by Rudolph.
Brown.
Then followed by Charlie Brown. Thank you.
No! Frosty the Snowman!
With a stupid radiator.
Whatever!
Radiator?
Doesn't a radiator melt him? Something?
No, he goes in the greenhouse and he gets locked in there by the evil magician, and then Karen stands over the puddle and cries. And then so do I.
All right.
That's not a Christmas special. What the?
That's a global warming.
No, it was
a documentary.
It was a greenhouse probably... that was built to grow Christmas poinsettias.
That illustrates my... whole point about global warming.
Your opinion about Christmas
gases
specials
will
is
melt
stupid.
Your snowman.
All right. The White House will not commit to health care legislation that would cap insurance premiums or tax benefits, taking a wait-and-see approach. The headline is AIDS, Obama not demanding a public option.
Oh, boy.
Now might be a good time to demand that, in my personal opinion. Rahm Emanuel said Obama will weigh in when it's important to weigh in.
Yeah, that's now.
Now seems good to me.
Now.
I don't know. This might be a heck of a game of chess instead of checkers, but let's hope so. Chris Dodd yesterday on Meet the Press still saying we're going to get a public option. I'm confused. Oh, did you see our friend Gerald McAtee, the labor union?
Oh
head?
Yeah, we're going to be booking him very, very, very soon.
He's hilarious. He confuses my show with a loading dock sometimes. That's why I love him.
That's right. He cursed on the show last time. Yeah.
He's salty, like mama. labor groups say plans to finance health care reform by taxing insurance companies would end up costing middle-income Americans because the industry would simply pass along the taxes with higher premiums. Rahm Emanuel insisted Sunday the Senate finance bill hits the insurance companies and the high, expansive, and expensive plans. He said one of the most effective ways of putting downward pressure on health care premium increases is a disincentive to ever expansive and expensive plans. I find it ironic because some of the critics on the right were the people that called for, in fact, eliminating tax exclusion. Now they've become the biggest defenders. So, you know, we got some strange bedfellows on both sides of a lot of different issues on the health care bill now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Mike Ross, you know, the Blue Dog Democrat?
Yeah.
He, of course, has been objecting to the public option. He's floating a proposal to open up Medicare to Americans under 65, but at a reimbursement rate much greater than the current Medicare rates.
Okay.
Which is, exactly, it's not a good idea, maybe.
Why would a
However,
blue dog be for that?
That, I don't know. Still, his solution will likely save less money than a robust public option that uses Medicare-like rates and leverage. So that's what I mean. Let's get a robust public option. Senator Harry Reid, Friday.
I met yesterday with the leaders of the American Association of Retired People. This is their number one issue. They know that if we don't take care of this, senior citizens will lose their ability to see a doctor.
Senior citizens is tough to pronounce, much like the senior senator from Texas. Hey, Haley.
Katie Bailey Hutchinson, the senior senator from Texas.
Hmm. Senator, I'm sorry, Congressman Joe Sestak is next with a big announcement on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I am, how do you say, tipsy?
Oh, that's not true. 33 minutes after the hour. The Dow is up, what is,
100 points.
Thank you. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Chris, what happened this morning? You called me early on, said, well, are you like a one-star admiral? I said, no. Then you tried me again, said, how about a two-star? I said, no, no.
Computer says no.
That's
and
exactly
then what happened?
I said.
Then you said, all right, I have a three-star admiral. And I said, all right then.
Computer says yes.
Give me Congressman Joe Sestak from the great state of Pennsylvania. Good morning, Congressman.
Morning, Stephanie. You were great to be back.
And so nice to have you. I understand you've brought a friend with you this morning.
I did. Hero of mine, Ned Lamont.
Ned Lamont is on the phone.
Hey, Stephanie. It's Ned Lamont. I'm pleased to be with you both.
Good morning, sir. Do you have something you'd like to say, Ned?
Yeah, I'd like to say that I'm here for Joe Sestak. He's a man who's got the courage of his convictions. I'm here to support him, and I hope all your listeners support him, too.
Yay! We
Hooray!
Have Ned Lamont is endorsing Joe. I always call you Senator Sestak for some reason, Congressman. I don't know why. I always make that mistake.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Look, I can't tell you how pleased I am to have Ned Lamont in Philadelphia supporting me today. I mean, here's someone who really stood by the courage of his convictions when convenience is just too easy in Washington, D.C. And that's the kind of individual that I think we need down there. And if I could say this now, I really hope that Ned gets back into politics.
Oh, Ned, I do too. Can I just tell you, every time Joe Lieberman opens his mouth, I just think, oh, if only. Did you see him? When was it? A few days ago. He's saying, oh, I think we're going too fast on health care. I don't think we can do that now. It's too much.
Well, look, I don't want to talk about that, Joe. I want to talk about this, Joe.
All right.
Joe.
I was trying to drag you down with me.
Words, Joe, but I'm here to endorse you. I mean, this is a guy, you know where he's going to stand on the big issues of the day. He's not going to do it out of political convenience. He's doing it because he believes it. His heart's with our core democratic values. So when it comes to health care and job creation and energy independence, I think Joe's a guy you can really count on. Joe
yep.
Sestak, that is.
Yep. Well, you know, Ned, I think Arlen Specter just has, you know, way too much of a history of fighting against, you know, so many things we all believe in as Democrats.
Without question, my issue is here we have someone who's voted against, and right here in Philadelphia as we stand, deadly assault weapons. He's voted for the tax cuts for the very rich, and he's voted to weaken the Clean Air Act. I mean, I could go on, but while I can respect his public service, I just frankly disagree with his 2,000 votes with President Bush. The future is so different and needs new ideas and new energy than the last 30 years. And I just want to be the strongest ally of President Obama to make that future happen for Americans.
Congressman Sestak, you know, it seems to me that, you know, not only are you a fighter, which I love and I think we need right now, and particularly in a Democratic Congress and a Senate, you know, you're talking about the stuff that's really hurting people out there. Tell me about the housing stuff you're doing. You talked about comprehensive ownership vesting plan that you're behind addressing people that are underwater, which I know a lot of them.
Absolutely. We've had handled in my constituency office, which we keep open 7 days a week because people are hurting so much. We've handled over 600 mortgage foreclosures trying to forestall them. We're only able to help about 40% before they have to go to a sheriff's sale. What we looked at then is there's 12 million Americans today that are underwater, where their mortgage is more than the value of their house. If we do nothing, the projection by the end of 2010 is 18 million Americans will be there because adjustable rate mortgages bought in 2005 and were into a fixed rate until this one January coming up are going to jump up, and many of these are just Americans who have lost their jobs through no fault of their own. So I believe, and I submitted this bill in March, but I was told there wasn't the courage of many to sign up to it, that we have to take the courageous step for the common good, a forgiving principle. And so this vesting plan actually will keep individuals in their home with an government-backed insurance mortgage that if we don't do this, we will continue the acceleration of foreclosures. We're in Philadelphia in the last year, it's increased 204%, and we will have housing prices continue down, and we won't come out of this recession as strong as we have to. In fact, we'll be delayed coming out of it. That's why I resubmitted the bill with Mark Zandi, Moody's.com, endorsing it. last week.
Well, you know, Congressman, one of my oldest friend, you know, from college is in this very situation. And there's something wrong, I think, in our society when, you know, people are literally being told it's better for you to just go into foreclosure. You know, it's better for you to just declare bankruptcy. And that's what we're encouraging people to do, you know, because of that situation.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I know the moral hazard argument, but the real issue is here the common goods. They are so far underwater, they barely can keep it, and many people are finding out it's just better to walk away from their home, or all of a sudden they're not on a full-time job, a part-time job, as approximately 18% of Americans have been forced to do, and now they can't hardly afford it, so they decide that it looks like bankruptcy. If a house goes in foreclosure on your block, your house, still living there, loses about 9% of its value. That's why we have to take this tough step. Not doing so means that we will continue to be in this recessive mode that we are in. We've got to take a hard fight on this one, and I believe we need to stand up and fight for this bill. Yep. And every economist I've talked to agrees.
Ned Lamont, now you probably have heard a lot of the, you know, not all of them, but a lot of the bigwigs, the pundits, the bigwigs in Pennsylvania say there's no way that Joe Sestak can win against Arlen Specter. You remember those same people saying there's no way someone can beat Joe Lieberman in a primary. So
I'm afraid taking on the political establishment is a tough. My phone was ringing off the hook back in 2006. I bet Joe's phone is ringing off the hook sometimes. But this is a mark of the man. He's got the courage to stand up. But if he's willing to take on the political establishment, I think he'll be there fighting for the people of Pennsylvania when the time comes.
Yeah, I mean, no offense to Ed Rendell, who, but I remember him talking about how there's no way that Barack Obama was going to beat Hillary Clinton. I remember him saying that many times. You know, so much for political wisdom, right?
Well, look, they said in our race, you know, you're jeopardizing a state seat and it's going to be bad for the Democrats. And I think by standing up and saying what we believe back in 2006, we're talking about the disastrous decision to invade Iraq, the Democrats stood up and it was a great victory for Democrats that November.
Well, you know, and Congressman Sestak, I think that, you know, what I hear just over and over is people want Democrats to have a spine, whether it's on health care or anything else. You know, if not now, when? We have the White House. We have a majority. If we're not going to get a done now, when?
You're absolutely right. I mean, we did not seize power down in the White House by political calculation. We did it by audacity. And if there's anything, we need to be more bold and more aggressive. It doesn't mean we don't want to reach across the aisle, but we cannot sacrifice good policy at the altar of bipartisanship. We should try to pray together, but ultimately we need to effect the needed health care reform with a public option, the cap and trade bill that actually cleans our environment and gives us new jobs. And we need to effect an education system where everyone has an opportunity to go to college. And those are going to take some real tough fighters down
well,
there.
Well, thank you. And Congressman, you know, here's you know, what I keep wondering is, no offense to Senator Snowe, to Olympia Snowe, but what, you know, why are we doing all this to get one Republican to vote for us? We won. You know, I mean, to water this all down to get one Republican, maybe, I don't understand.
My take on the Baucus bill right now is it's a nice step, but it is so inefficient and ineffective. In the fact, what we will end up doing is giving 40 million more customers, Americans, who are uninsured, to the insurance company to cover. Yet we will not have reformed an insurance market where 94% of all the insurance markets in America are in what the Department of Justice calls a non-competitive pricing market. We don't have the public option. We don't get pricing reform so that if you have a health care plan today, you will be able to afford it next year and the year after.
Ned Lamont, thank you for having the good taste to endorse Representative Joe Sestak on my show, and thank you both for having the good taste to come on the Stephanie Miller Show. We appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thanks for inviting us, Stephanie.
All right. Thank you, guys. There they go.
Thanks.
Representative Joe Sestak, future senator of the great state of Pennsylvania, and Ned Lamont. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. What the president had to say about the economy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek, I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I get it. 99 red balloons for the balloon boy. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. 57 minutes or 47 minutes after the hour.
Huh?
Pardon me.
Getting ahead of yourself there, Missy.
Yes, I am. All right. The president, echoing what economists on both sides of the aisle have said about the Recovery Act.
They hadn't been for that Recovery Act. Here in California and all across America, if it weren't for the Recovery Act, we'd be in a much deeper hole, and that is a fact.
All right. If only we could talk to somebody who knows a little something about a little something. Somebody for, say, the Center for American Progress. Why, it's our good friend John Podesta. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I understand. Good to talk to you again.
Great to be back.
I understand you're working on something with Maria Shriver. I ran into her at CNN not too long ago, and she is delightful. May I just say?
She's both a ball of fire, and I think this report that we put out together, A Woman's Nation, is really a terrific starting point for a national conversation about how we affect change both at the governmental level, but particularly in businesses and faith institutions and the media, in terms of dealing with the modern reality, which is that we are about to hit a tipping point in which more women than men will be in the workforce. And two-thirds of American families, the primary breadwinner or co-breadwinner, are now women.
Oh, we've always had to do all the work, John. And I'm guessing we're still doing most of the housework and the child rearing, right?
It's absolutely true. And I think I think things have changed to some extent. I think men do participate more in child rearing, etc., than they did perhaps in two generations ago. But clearly, women are bearing the burden of both having to take care of the kids, take care of elderly parents, be in the workforce, bring home the bacon into those families. And I think that society needs to adjust to the reality that we face in America today, which
That's
is
right.
that deep penetration of women in the workforce, starting with ensuring that women are paid equally for the work that they do.
And by the way, may I just say, John, so if a busy woman, say a Maria Shriver, occasionally has to sneak in a cell phone call while she's driving, I certainly don't think that her husband, the governor, should have anything to say about it. Any word on what the repercussions were of that?
If you saw Meet the Press yesterday, outed himself as the person who was on the other end of the line.
Oh, no!
calling her to find out about this report we just put out. And so Maria's decided to donate her cell phone to a charitable organization that works on issues of battered women, and she's, taken the episode and tried to make something good out of it. But,
ooh, does her cell phone have all the numbers that are already programmed into it? I would buy it.
There you go. I think I don't know. I haven't seen whether the governor has put out an all-points bulletin for her arrest here. She's talking on the phone, but I think she's learned her lesson.
So obviously the Center for American Progress and Maria have put out this report. What do you hope to accomplish with it? What do you hope will help? Will happen?
I think first and foremost we need to kind of focus on this. This is perhaps the greatest social transformation of our time, and it kind of snuck up on us in a way. The deep penetration of women in the workforce, as I said, the fact that more than 50% of American workers will be women probably sometime this year. The biggest areas for job growth are in occupations dominated by women, but we haven't built the institutions either in business or in government that reflect that. So what we're trying to push and call for are more flexible work schedules to try to get both businesses and government to focus on the fact that people need to have paid sick leave, that they have to be able to attend to their family situations, that we need to reform social insurance in this country, which discriminates against women. In this debate on health care, we need to end discrimination against women in the health insurance industry. So we hope that The facts we've marshaled, the report that we've given, it focuses across not just these specific policy inputs, but really on the way men and women are reacting to it.
Mm-hmm.
Rockefeller Foundation and Time Magazine, in conjunction with the Shriver Report and the Center for American Progress, did a poll. And the interesting thing, I think maybe the most important top line, is that 77% of the American public think that this is a good trend, mm-hmm. that this is true for men and women, for conservatives and liberals, for, you know, across the spectrum.
Yep, absolutely.
That this is, you know, this is a positive development, but it does create great stress in family life, and we need to adjust the way we work and live to mm-hmm. accommodate that.
John, you mentioned health care, and obviously we're at a critical point. We've gotten farther than we've ever gotten on health care, but what is your take? How do you think we're doing? Are we going to get it by the end of the year? Are we going to get it with a robust public option?
Boy, it's an ugly process, isn't it? But I'm pretty confident that we will get a very strong bill that will cover 30 million or more Americans who don't have health care coverage, that will limit the amount that people have to spend on health insurance or health coverage in general, that will focus on creating the systems that will keep people healthy rather than just treating them when they're acutely ill. And I think there will be a public option in the bill. I think that you use the term robust, and I think that that is still open to question whether some version like the House provision, the provision that's come out of the House committees, will be included in the final package, or I think the debate's been sort of channeled between Senator Snowe's triggered public option, the state-based public option that Senator Schumer has suggested, mm-hmm. or the more robust House pass bill.
Well, I don't know why. You're right. I don't know why.
I favor the House version, but at this point, what we got to do is see where the votes are. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be someplace within those boundaries. The president's going to push for a public option, and I think that will help add choice and reduce costs.
Well, John,
overall,
you're right that robust is just the word people pick, but I would settle for plucky. Or a perky public option, something. All right.
Experimental public option. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I think that there's. I think that people get the fact that this could be a very solid basis for people who don't have insurance to be able to access a system. Just the way there's very strong public acceptance of Medicare, which people forget is a public option, system.
All right.
That they, you know, that if you had that choice or that option, it would help both reduce costs, yep. add competition to the system, and give people choice.
Absolutely. The website is AmericanProgress.org. The report is A Woman's Nation by Maria Shriver and the Center for American Progress. I enjoyed your report, The Structural Imbalance of Talk Radio, a little more. This one was good, but the one that called for more progressive radio that you and I talked about to the Democratic senators, I liked a little better.
Yeah, exactly. One of the authors of that report, of course, now is at the FCC, and he's now become one of Glenn Beck's favorite targets.
Oh, wow.
You know, these guys are they're relentless, I suppose.
Poor Glenn Beck.
Poor Glenn Beck.
All right.
He needs additional enemies.
John Podesta, one of our buddies, our pals at the Center for American Progress. Thanks so much, John.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Talk to you soon. There he goes, John Podesta. All right.
It might sound better if it were a plucky private option.
A plucky private option. Let's change the debate. Everyone uses robust. Let's think of something else.
We do need some more alliteration.
Mm-hmm.
Plucky public.
I want a plucky public option. Ooh, don't say that just three times fast.
How about a plucky public plan?
Option.
That's only going to end in disaster. All right. Speaking of which, I'm feeling more and more like Afghanistan will. Wow. Jane Harman is opposing a troop increase in Afghanistan. She is a hawk.
She's a bit of a hawk.
A Democrat and yet a hawk. Her view is the Obama administration should deal with government corruption, build up Afghan forces before Congress is asked to pay for more troops. Senator John Kerry on this very subject.
It would be entirely irresponsible for the President of the United States to commit more troops to this country when we don't even have an election finished and know who the President is and what kind of government we're working it with. And when our own, you know, commanding general tells us that a critical component of achieving our mission here is, in fact, good governance, and we're living with a government that we know has to change and provide it, How could the president responsibly say, oh, they asked for more? Sure, here they are.
All right. Here's what our president is up against, by the way. Did you see this? This was an op-ed this weekend. Arguing it's unconstitutional for Obama to accept the Nobel Peace Prize.
Where's it saying in the Constitution that they can't accept a Nobel Peace Prize?
The White House says this argument is flat out wrong. The Constitution talks about kings and princes and foreign states. Here, Alfred Nobel, a private citizen, set up a private foundation, the Nobel Foundation, that awards the money, the White House said. Furthermore, President Obama has already indicated he does not intend to keep the money. In a Washington Post op-ed on Friday, they argued that the Constitution bars U.S. officials from accepting foreign titles, gifts, blah, blah, unless authorized by Congress.
The birther thing seems to be dying, so they're looking for something, anything.
Yeah, he can't accept that. God. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and Mrs. Taylor. Associate producer Rebecca Baker, as the artist formerly known as.
And we've got David Schuster and Charlie Pierce tomorrow.
Woohoo! On the Stephanie Miller Show.